Well, welcome, listeners, to the world of productive laziness with Peter Taylor, the Lazy Project Manager. Who else? Let's start with a word from our sponsors. Actually, they're not actually sponsors. I'm just kind of helping out PMI UK, and they have a significant event coming up, which I've been to quite a few times. So just have a listen to this.
Hi, my name is John Clay, President of PMI UK, the Project Management Institute's UK chapter. Every year on International Project Management Day, over 700 project management practitioners come together in London to celebrate this diverse profession at the PMI UK's annual event, Synergy. This year on the 2nd of November will be no different. Same city, same venue, same format, but one big difference. This year's event will push the boundaries and give you the opportunity to learn from individuals who are making huge changes within their particular fields. You'll be challenged to look at how you can change how you work, how that in turn makes you a better project manager, and then how together, with small steps and standing up for what is right, we really can change the world. Sadly, the Grenfell disaster has shown that the things we trust and believe in cannot be taken for granted, particularly the standards by which we assure our work. Stephen Carver, Senior Lecturer at Cranfield University School of Management, we'll discuss the moral and ethical responsibilities and consequences we must consider when doing our job. It is no longer acceptable to hide behind regulations that are not fit for purpose. It is time to question and challenge. Global warming, climate change, and the challenges and opportunities it presents the project's community will be discussed by Ed Davey, Programme Director of the Prince's Trust on Climate Change and Sustainability. Ed will explore how humanity has an abundance of intelligence, the science and the foresight to know what needs to be done. Millions of people around the world are concerned about the global issue and also committed to acting locally. Company CEOs such as Paul Polman of Unilever are also leading by example. As individuals, we can truly make the difference and turn this situation on its head. Mark Dixon, Chair of PMI Global, will be delivering a keynote on portfolios and the key to success, and Dee Dee Hopkins will be returning to MC the event. Full information is available at www.pmisynergy.co.uk. Will take place at Central Hall Westminster on the 2nd of November 2017, and tickets are £129 for PMI members and £149 for non-members. The overall focus for Synergy is how to help you develop as an agile project manager, aims to update you, teach you, nudge you, provoke you, and entertain you all at the same time. It's absolutely great and well worth the 60 PDUs for your professional development record. Join us on the 2nd of November and challenge yourself to be a better project manager.
I'm going to move on to something quite unusual in the world of project management, I think, and it's something that has triggered some significant interest on LinkedIn. So I've been on my travels. I'm just back from speaking at the PM Camp in Barcelona, at the PM Summit in Dublin, and the PMI Congress in Frankfurt. But prior to that, I was in Romania, and in Romania, I had a tango lesson. Yeah, absolutely. It's a workshop around the principles of the tango. So let me just go straight into this one, because this is just something very different. It was a very enjoyable 2-hour taster of the actual workshop itself. So let me let the lady who runs the workshop introduce herself. Well, I'm in Romania, in Bucharest. I'm speaking at the conference here. I'm speaking about my how to get fired at the sea level. I've just been to a really interesting workshop where a lady has had the unfortunate experience of trying to teach me to do the tango. Agnieszka, why don't you introduce yourself to the podcast listeners and we'll explain all about leader tango.
Okay, my name is Agnieszka Gasperini. I'm a project manager since a long time. But I'm focused and loved with people, so I choose the journey leadership, and I combine together my passion, which is Argentinian tango that I dance for the last 10 years, putting together with the leadership skills. So what we did during the workshop that Peter experienced, we were trying to look for the strength that the best leaders have. So we defined what means really to be a great leader and then what kind of strength you need to have. So we use tango metaphor to find the really strengths that the great leader should have. So we started today with trust, which is the first letter of Titango.
Oh yes, trust was very exciting.
Yes, so we did some exercise. Actually, they didn't dance, but they walked. That was kind of challenging for people who did that first time. But they did that with music, and it's always amazing to observe people, how they behave. And then they describe, you can say more about it, Peter, how do you feel in the role as a leader and the follower, and how you can bring it to your daily job and use this experience to improve your skills and to improve your leadership style in the team. So I think you can say something about your experience.
Yes. I won't go into details what we actually did, but it was the fact that you had to lead and then you had to follow with a partner. I like to think of it as dancing. It's a start, at least. We didn't fall over, or I didn't fall over, and I didn't hit anybody, so that was great. But it was as an experience, it was interesting, because you had to find a way to communicate with your partner whilst leading the exercise, and you had to understand some of the challenges that were coming towards you. And then, of course, I was leader first, and then secondly, I had to become the follower and trust completely the person who I was originally leading. So there was that kind of changeover, was an interesting period. And then each time we kind of built our level of confidence and trust in each other. And it was a lot of fun, but very impactful. I mean, I love these kind of sessions where, you know me, I like to have a laugh, I like to have fun, but you can learn through that experience. So I really, really enjoyed that. And it's kind of wrapped around with a lot. So we had 2 hours today.
Yes.
That's only a small part of the actual workshop itself. So normally 2 days, I think.
Yeah, normally I'm doing like 2 days, like a first level, let's say, that you experience all tango strengths. So behind the tango letters, there is a group of strength that we are building during the workshop. And of course, we do more exercise. And at the end of the second day, people really start dancing, would say, a little bit tango, so they experience what does it mean to follow the music, to look at the environment, to take care of the follower and the leader, to change the embrace. So many, many things happening during 2 days, and I think it's a great input that people get about their emotions, and they take it to their teams where they work. So this is a new way to develop your skills as a leader, having also some fun.
Well, I think that's the thing. I mean, everybody's gone now. We're sitting in a room, just the two of us now, and but the energy in the room is very high.
Yeah.
Which, as a fellow trainer, workshop leader as well, that's something I always look for. There are a lot of smiles on people's faces. I don't think anybody didn't speak out during the workshop.
Everybody
spoke out, which, again, is sometimes a challenge when you run these sessions. And it was quite a big group. So, that was all positive stuff. And I know that, just talking to a few people, it was they really enjoyed themselves. So, learning through that experience, learning through fun is absolutely the way to go. And, for leaders at any level in an organisation, it's kind of nice for them to be able to put down that day job and think about things in a different way, but have a bit of fun at the same time.
Yes, exactly. So if you want to join me for another session, longer one, or another part of the world, visit the website leadertango.com, and you can find me and you can find more information. And I'm looking forward to have another experience in another part of the world.
Definitely. Well, thank you. I would definitely recommend it. So go and check that one out. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much, Peter.
Thank you for the photos at the end, and I look forward to the next lesson.
You should publish it. You show people you dance.
I will do. It'll be on my blog, so check it out.
That's
all right.
Perfect.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Well, there you have it. That's something very, very unusual and quite enjoyable. And if you look at the photos on LinkedIn, you'll see why it was enjoyable, for not just for the experience of the workshop, but seriously, it was. I love things that are unusual in the world of project management, in learning in general, and this one I found was fascinating. So I'm going to move on to one third interview for this podcast. A gentleman I spoke just before this gentleman at the Future PMO conference that was in London not so long ago, and he kind of just fascinated me with his approach to presentation, his style, etc. So let's hear interview number 3. So, hi there. I'm going to introduce you to a gentleman, Ash Sheikh, and we both spoke at a recent conference. So, Ash, why don't you just introduce yourself to the listeners, and then I'll talk about the conference we both met at.
Yeah, sure. Hi, Peter. Hello, folks. So I'm Ash. I own Robot Says Culture, and I work with organizations to help them introduce positive cultures and help them understand how agile ways of working work.
Excellent, excellent. And we were a very unusual conference, certainly from my experience. It was called Future PMO. It was run by an organization called Wellintone. And it was very, it was great. There were great sessions and there was great interaction. And there were some really interesting things like a DeLorean time machine and you said Robot Says Culture. There was a robot there, wasn't there, Ash?
There was. It was a 9-foot robot that was actually had one of the best senses of humour I've actually come across, better than most people.
He actually told project management jokes, which is not easy, I tell you. Anyway, so I kicked the event off, and I did a presentation around my new book, How to Get Fired at the C-Level, Why Mismanaging Change is the Biggest Risk of All. And I came off stage feeling quite pleased. It generally went well, and I stopped talking in the right amount of time, and the audience were very polite and clapped. And then this guy I'd never met before, apart from we did connect on LinkedIn, jumps up on stage, has these really wacky slides that says Robot Says Culture, and then starts talking agile, which is always a kind of scary thing. So maybe just in a few moments, just summarize how your engagement with the conference went about, Ash, and how you put together your presentation for it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, Peter. So it's strange for me to be at that conference as well, because a year ago, I was very much of the view that PMO doesn't have a place in the modern organization. And part of the story I told through those slides as well, but my journey was that I was working with two large organizations that were merging, and they were asking my advice on how they should best structure so it doesn't turn into the car crash that these things turn into. And one of the things I knew, or I thought I knew at the beginning of that piece of work, was that I would be advising them that PMO doesn't have a place in this modern organization. But as I was trying to understand how they should come together, I couldn't find how I could take PMO out. And in fact, the more I tried to take it out, the more integral it seemed, to the point where at the end, I saw PMO as the absolute heart and lifeblood of the organization. And then once I came to that realization, and within the agile space, there's a lot of kind of anti-PMO bashing that happens. And then once I realized that, I was on a mission to right that wrong and help people understand that actually PMO is integral. It's just being used incorrectly at the moment. And that's what brought me to the conference, because I wanted to give the people at the conference the kind of data I had in order to help them make the case for the validity and the future of the PMO.
So exactly. So listeners, let's step back to there. So I've just come off stage. I'm a well-known advocate of the PMO world. I'm at a conference which is about PMOs. And suddenly this kind of young guy jumped up on stage and he kind of utters a sort of, the agile warning, which is, I'm a full supporter of agile, but agile can be challenging sometimes. And then puts up a slide which is like, how PMO is viewed in the agile space as almost anti-PMO. It's a picture of, the guy from Star Trek with his head in his hands, not a PMO sort of thing. I was kind of worried, Ash, at that point. I was really worried about where were you going to take this? Because you finished before the break, didn't you? So basically that's what they were going to talk about, not me.
That's true. In fact, I was worried when I got on stage, Peter. I don't know if you remember, but Vince, the organizer, his introduction for me was, "This is Ash, he's an agile guy, boo, hiss." I was like, oh God, I'm going to get tomatoes on me.
But let's talk about something. You kind of summarized that you kind of came around to the fact that PMO is valuable, which is great. And I think you kind of went along the lines of work is becoming increasingly unplannable. And I loved you talked about the two models, the predict and control versus the sense and response. So maybe share a couple of thoughts around that.
Yeah, sure. So what happens is through through the way that organizations have developed from how organizations first existed. So an organization was just really a group of humans agreeing to not kill each other so they could work together to gather food and have shelter. And now those were the first types of organizations, and those organizations were led on a very much a power structure where one person would be bigger and stronger than everyone else and they would claim power. And the only way to claim power over them is to basically take them out, and then you would claim power. So as we kind of move through organizations and how they're created, what happened was with the industrial age, we kind of got into this point of organizations being viewed as machines. And that kind of has stuck with us. And we very much use that metaphor for, and there's lots of machine language when we talk about organizations. So then what happens is the machine itself, we assume incorrectly that we put things into the machine and they're going to come out in the way we would expect them to. Like you put some meat in and mince comes out the end. That's how it always works. But organizations aren't machines and people aren't machines. So we have this false sense of control that we can predict what's going to happen in the world, and then all we need to do is control it and it will happen like we want it to. But especially with the modern innovation and the speed of innovation, it's highlighting that this is actually not true in any way. And what we need to move to is more of a sense and respond type of view of the world, which is where we still have an idea of the things we want to do, the strategies we want to put in place, the markets we want to enter, but we're not so fixed that we must do that regardless of the new data that's emerging to tell us this isn't a good idea to continue investing our money there. And we need to understand and get those those warnings much, much quicker so that we can respond much more quicker. So we can still have goals and strategies, but we must be responsive to the actuality of what's happening.
Brilliant. And I got to confess, I stole your slide the following day.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, I had to do a presentation on a PMO that I'm helping an organisation set up in London, and it, you know, exactly summarised the fact that I was telling them they were on a journey. There was stuff they had to do. They, you know, they were beginning to grapple with a major program or transformational change, and they absolutely had to go into the kind of predict and control mode first of all to get control. But the fact that they, you know, I was arguing that the PMO, you know, wasn't going to survive like that. It had to become something that was very flexible, respond to change, you know, that kind of sense and response. So it beautifully fitted what I was trying to talk to them. And I must admit, you kind of articulate it in a much simpler way. So thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad it was useful to you. And just to kind of, for the listeners as well, just to, you know, like confirm that and to play out in your lives, you know, the whole predict and control and sense and respond, that's what we try to do with our lives, right? So if any of you think about what was happening 2 years ago in your life and the plans you were making, and now look at where you are, those plans, you know, some of them might have come out at a high level, but you had no idea what you were going to be doing today based on 2 years ago. And before that, 2 years the same and 2 years the same. Nothing is actually controllable.
Absolutely. So thanks for that. I have to say, you got to a slide eventually, which kind of made me breathe easier, and I think most of the audience. It basically was the PMO belongs at the heart of the modern, flexible and adaptable organization. I think at that point I kind of relaxed in my seat.
well, slide one did say PMO at the heart of the organization, so I hope I didn't give anybody too many palpitations.
Yeah, nobody pays attention right at the beginning of the presentation.
That's true.
So, I mean, the kind of last thing I thought we'd chat about is you have this thing called the decision-making framework. So maybe, I mean, obviously not give everything away, but, you know, maybe talk to the listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah, the decision-making framework is just, I like to name things because it helps me understand them better. So it's not something that only I can do. Everybody can do this on their own, you know, with or without me. So it's not a thing that they must have in order to do this. And what the decision-making framework is really about saying that where I see PMO at the heart of the organization is using that metaphor of the heart, that the heart has a regular beat And as it beats, what it enables is the lifeblood to flow around us and to nourish us and keep us alive. And that's how I see PMO operating in the future, that PMO should have a regular beat. And as it beats, what happens is it pumps data across the organization. And that data is trusted data, and that's one of the key missing pieces in organizations today. If anything, we've got too much data, but that data isn't trusted at all, and there's so many sources to it. So if PMO becomes that single source of data, passes it around the organization, but it passes it in a way through a framework that actually surfaces the right data that you need to make decisions, then what will happen is that the quality of decisions will increase across the organization, because we're making them not upon gut feeling anymore, but we're making them upon current, trusted, reliable data. So what happens to enable this framework is that I believe PMO needs to stop running around gathering the data from people, and that's a thankless task, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course. This is a horrible place to be in. So we should stop gathering the data, and we should focus on setting up the framework, understanding what the different parts of the organization need, what data they need in order to make good decisions. And then once the framework is in place, the responsibility goes back to the people in the organization to fill the framework with the right data. And PMO then become the guardians of quality of the data, rather than running around trying to, you know, chase everyone on a Friday afternoon.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for that. And listeners, you should definitely check this guy out. I found him hugely entertaining, interesting. And if I may, the final slide before I get you to tell people how they can get hold of you, it made me laugh, your final slide with some of the things on the right hand side. I'm allowed to tell people about those?
Please go ahead.
So we all put closing slides up, which is, you know, please contact me, this is my stuff, my email, whatever it may be, which Ash does, and he's going to tell you just a minute how to get hold of him and to find out more. But on the right hand side, it's got available to speak at facilitate weddings and bar mitzvahs, ironing £1 per item, dog walking £2.65 per hour per dog. Looking for a date? Swipe left. He's the one your mother warned you about.
And that's true.
It's brilliant. I love that. I really love that. So go on, tell listeners how they can find out more about you, and make sure they get hold of you for a conversation, for engagement, or even speaking at their future event.
Thank you. It's really kind, Peter. So the best way to get hold of me is my email address is ash@robotsaysculture.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, Ash Sheikh, S-H-E-I-K-H. Other than that, I don't really do Twitter or Facebook or even give numbers, because what I hope to do is to encourage personal communication and, as you say, encourage a conversation, because ultimately that's what makes the world go around, and that's what keeps me interested, good conversations. So this has been a great conversation. I really appreciate it, Peter.
It's my pleasure. I'm very, very pleased that we managed to cross paths at the Future PMO event. So thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, sir, and thank you to your listeners.
Well, that brings us to a close. Three very different and interesting interviews. I hope you'll agree. And, check out the information from these guys, because it's all worthwhile, I think. And it all helps us engage as project managers to be part of the global project management community and find new ways of learning and experiencing things. So that's it from me. I'm taking a bit of a rest for a while on travels, etc. I think it's not until next month now that I head out to Bulgaria, so just making the arrangements for that. But in the meantime, as ever, you can reach out to me at www.thelazyprojectmanager.com, and just in respect for the lady who had to drag me around the dance floor trying to learn a tango, let's close out with something different from Lazy. Let's close out with a bit of a tango classic, I believe.